right, we're back. Said earlier it was going to be a busy day, going to talk with a lot of people. It's Thursday, and one of my favorite segments, Morning Zoo, talking all things Jankabazoo with Kathy Dickman and Tom Schmaltz in studio with me. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
You're kind of back from a whirlwind vacation that you seem to be having a lot of fun with that, with the grandkids.
Oh, gosh, it was very fun. It was very fun. We did the Black Hills.
Grandparents of the year here, both of you.
Zoom out, zoom back.
Hey, we're talking August 24th. I cannot believe this summer's gone as fast as it's gone.
Nor can I.
But and it never slows down at the zoo. There's never really a slow season.
There's really not. And, you know, people say, well, what do you do now? I was like, well, we still do what we do every day.
Right.
We're still doing all the animal care year-round. We're still doing the outreach. We're still doing the tours. We're still serving the thousands that come, and this is a really fun time to come. Well, normally it would be, it's kind of hot, but you know what? Again, we're in a cover down there. Yeah. People still come down, and we're getting kind of a little bit of, I want to say a rush, but last week was real good because of the back to school. Mm-hmm. Let's get the kids to the zoo again. You have through October, nearly the whole month of October, to come to the zoo again. And then...
Beautiful time to be down.
It is, absolutely. And then, don't forget... The winter, you can still come. You just got to make an appointment. Let us know you're coming. We're there every day.
Sure.
Someone's there every day. We've got a precious collection to care for, so we're there all the time.
Boy, that's for sure. Hey, let's recap. What kind of summers had been? Since you got from opening day till right now, it's been good?
Well, yes. Opening was slow. We missed several weeks because we went again winter to summer in 10
that
minutes.
That quick.
Yeah, so we lost some weeks in there of not being open. So that's, of course, was down from last year in attendance in April there. And even May was slower. June started to get, you know, people coming. July was up 10% over last year, which speaks volumes because of the heat even.
Yeah.
People still came because of the road construction. People they came too anyway. So if we hadn't had little things like that, I don't think the road closures were, I think people find their way to the zoo. They don't stay home because there's the road closures. They find their way to Chihinkapa without fault. But with the heat and everything, so had we had a... you know, better weather summer, think about what we could have been up.
Right.
So that's good. And then now August, the numbers are coming in. You know, we get them every day, but we'll tally them and let people know what's going on.
You get a lot of schools coming in the fall. I know you do. You got a ton in the spring, but how about the fall?
Used to be just spring, and now it's turning to, we're getting not as many, but we get quite a few in the fall as well.
Right. It's a good way to get the kids started back into school. The teachers get them going, take them out for a field trip, you know, keeps the kids from going, oh my God, school's on, I can't get out. They get to come out, and yeah, we're getting the school trips now that'll start coming in. Minnesota will start sending their kids over, and it gets to be more and more every fall. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to show how the animals are changing for fall, what's happening to them, you know. And it's, you know, it's a little cooler. We're getting over the hot spell here. Hopefully after the next week and a half, it'll be normal temperatures. And it's a great time to come to the zoo. But we've been doing a lot of the outreach. And we have companies reach out and say, hey, can you bring some animals into our facility? Or can we come to you? And it's a great way to recharge everybody's batteries and get them going. We come in and bring a few animals in and do a presentation about the zoo and how the company ties in. And, you know, it's just a great way for everybody to get people geared up and going.
How far back do you go with that outreach? Because you've been doing it for a lot of years.
Oh, it was going long before I ever showed up at the zoo.
I mean, you're on the go constantly. You just don't stay down there.
Yeah,
you're everywhere in the community and in the area.
Yeah, it was before I was there. Doug Herrick did some. Lukes did some quite a bit, and so outreach has always been part of it. Shirley did a lot of it on the road, and oh my gosh, there's stories. We've all done it.
But you and Tom and your staff have taken it to a whole different level, because I was trying to figure out the other day what I mean, within the realms of safety, what haven't we had in this studio? We've had buffaloes, we've had armadillos, we've had kangaroos, we've had llamas, camels.
And don't forget the infamous bat.
Oh, you know, the infamous bat.
That was one of the first ones, and I said, Bill, here's a glove. Do not grab the bat with your ungloved hand, and the bat flew, and you grabbed it with your ungloved hand.
Yeah.
That was before I
you were a little panicked that day.
Well,
and
it was before
so.
I was, you know, cool and calm, knowing people can't really see this. I'm like, Bill, grab the bat. We're on live radio, and it was fun.
A monkey swinging from the mics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nico. The Nico years.
Well,
you
he
know,
was when, in every Thursday.
Yeah. So he was right with you for how long again? Take us back
18,
on that.
About 18 months.
Wow.
From start to acclimation.
And you know what, Kathy Dickman, that is the greatest story. And again, when we're all gone years from now, people will still be telling that story. We had the zoo director that essentially hand-raised this monkey.
Hand-raised the monkey. He's certainly not the only success story out there about
that. No, but boy,
that's
a good one.
The challenge is you don't want people to think they should go have a monkey. And
no,
they see
no.
me with a monkey, so you try to not exploit that, but it's very difficult when there's a monkey on your head.
Well, number one,
he lived up there.
You're a mammalogist. You're educated in it, so you know what you're doing. And number two, you're the director of our zoo.
And number three, I don't recommend it for anybody.
No. How is your tenure with Nico, Tom?
No, I don't recommend it.
I was with you through a Thanksgiving dinner, and that was a challenge. I can't imagine having him in the hospital.
The best. And you know, every now and then we get people saying, could you rerun that story in the column in the Daily News? And usually around Thanksgiving, I'll run that little clip again.
That was fun.
Because that's real stuff.
Greatest story. I got to mention some shameless self-promotion. Sessions going on this Saturday and Sunday at the zoo.
Oh, just blown away by those tigers.
Yeah. I've kind of jumped from the bears to the tigers now. The bears I'm doing detail work on this week. So they'll be done, and that's the first piece that I can set aside. And then on to your two amazing tigers who were comically, Tom, you'll appreciate this. Comically, were just I was down there last Sunday, and they were kind of in my face all day. And the memory that I have is that I was just getting wrapped up. It was kind of quiet. The crowd was starting to dwindle. And I looked over to my right, and Felix had jumped up. And he's looking. And, I mean, we are eye to eye. And he was chuffing, which you've taught me is a greeting. So that's a good thing. And he wouldn't quit. And he just sat there for the longest time. We just sat there and made eye contact. I wanted to turn that canvas around and go, do you approve of this? Because that's who I was working on Sunday.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. He's beautiful in person. He's beautiful on canvas. You brought him to life. You connected with him early on.
Yes, as a cub.
As a cub. And they're smart. They remember. They know we give off pheromones. They know you, Bill.
Right.
They know you, Bill. So
I had somebody yesterday stop me and go, where's that little tiger you had? I go, there he is.
Right there. He's not little anymore. But, and somebody came by, a family came by, and the lady obviously knew the history. And she was telling her whole family, kids and grandkids, Felix's dad was like the biggest tiger I've ever seen. So, again, you know, everybody carrying a little zoo history with them.
Yeah, people follow that, too. They follow where the animals go. If it's within driving range, or they'll go see where our animals came from or where they're going. And I feel so happy that people are so connected with the collection, because the collection is for everybody. They're our precious cargo, they're in our charge, and we just treat them like family. And I'm really happy that people connect to them, too. So it's not just us that has the stories. It's everybody.
I've got one more little thing. Can I mention the brush thing, the artist brush thing? A few weeks ago, Kathy stopped in, gave me a card, a thank you card for doing the zoo sessions. In it, I found two brushes. One, a very worn brush that your mom surely used and obviously used it a lot. So here's what I'm doing. When I get to your white tiger, okay, when I'm painting the eyes, it's going to be with Shirley's brush. And I've come up with another idea, too, that I think you're really going to like. But that's coming up here in the next couple weeks. I'll definitely be on talking about that when that's going to happen, because you are going to be standing right next to me when I do it. Cool. So there you go.
The joy you've brought to so many, and and to me personally, thank you so much. I can't believe these are going that fast.
No, I can't either. But man, what a summer!
But the paintings are like coming to life so quickly. I'm like, when are you doing all this?
Every day, essentially,
and
I get a little more done.
To do it right on the pathways, people are loving it. Mm-hmm.
I think Tal's doing half of it. He's sneaking up behind,
He probably could.
That's the other thing. You're providing enrichment for him. Just he's watching you.
He's watching.
Yes.
And so are your tigers.
Absolutely,
like
they are. So come on down, everybody. Come see Bill paint. You'll be there this weekend.
This weekend, and Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
So,
I'll
be down there Labor Day Monday too. Just
great.
Throw that out there.
Great.
Guys, thanks so much for stopping.
Thank
and
you
always
for
a great segment.
And
I know you're busy as always, so you got to scoot. But we'll see you next Thursday.
We appreciate you,
Tom and Kathy. Jankaba Zoo Morning Zoo every Thursday at 8:20 at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Some days I feel so down I can barely get out of bed. Is this depression?
Mental Health Minnesota is here to help 7 days a week with resources, peer support, online screenings, connections to treatment, and crisis services. It's anonymous, confidential, and free of charge. Whether you're living with a mental health condition, are concerned about someone you love, or could use some support, Mental Health Minnesota is here for you. MentalHealthMN.org. Sponsored by Mental Health Minnesota, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Got a mostly cloudy sky and a muggy 73 degrees. Thursday, August 24th, from the Twin Town Villa News Desk. I'm Bill Dablo. It's 8:30. Good morning. A Milbank man is in jail on murder and assault charges for the death of another man in rural Grand County in northeastern South Dakota. According to Attorney General Marty Jackley, 33-year-old Joseph Brendel was arrested on Monday. Deputies responded to a report of an assault Sunday evening where 34-year-old Douglas Lindbergh Jr., also a Milbank, had been injured. Lindbergh died early Monday. Brendel is in the Grand County Jail in Milbank. He's been charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and multiple outstanding warrants. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison has given a legal opinion regarding the new state law.